As Pastor Steve shared, today's sermon is entitled God is Love, and the whole service is directed towards the understanding that God loves us. When we think about love, we sometimes begin by thinking about how we love God. The passage today makes it clear that God first loved us. God reached out to us in response to that great love. Then we experience life in as it never had been before. Our passage today from 1 John is sort of a short manifesto on love. Added to that, John 3:16 on love. And we hear today what God has for us. I am especially mindful that we have a number of folks for whom this is their last Sunday before returning home. I know that because just among the ranks of ushers, we have six ushers who leave after this service sometime and won't be here next week. So let me ask you, how many of you here today are here for the last time before returning home? Would you just raise your hands? Oh my goodness. Okay. If you're in the front, turn around. Look, keep your hands up. I want everybody to see. This service is for you today. This service is God's statement of love for all of us. And our visitor from Nebraska, it's been said that this congregation is Nebraska West, and that a number of Nebraska folks here, our oldest daughter, Alyssa, our son-in-law is from Grand Island, so we have a connection with the great state of Nebraska as well. Hear now these words. If you want to follow our scripture lesson, they're found on page 223. It is found on page 223 in the Pew Bibles in the New Testament section in the back of the book. 1 John 4, 7 through 21. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and he who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we may live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the expiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his own Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we know and believe the love God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. In this is love perfected with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and he who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God should love his brother also. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we know that you are here with us, for you are love, and we feel loved. We thank you for this place of love, for this house of love, and in it we inhabit your presence. And we praise you and ask that you be with us. Lord, whatever you have for each one of us today, let us receive it. Let us hear with our spiritual ears. Let us be sensitive to your spirit. Let us heed your call. In the name of Jesus, amen. God is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I find it ironic that we live in a world that doesn't understand that simple statement. As we saw in 1 John and now from the Gospel of John 3:16, God is love. And when we follow that, when we believe it and receive it, there is just so much that we experience it with forgiveness and hope. Healing of spirit and healing of body. Healing of situations, for God is love. Our world says this. Well, I don't know if I have time for God in my life. Our world says this. Well, maybe I'll consider God among all the other things that I consider. But I have no use for restrictions or rules. I have no use for organized religion. If I can fit God in, maybe I'll consider God and maybe I won't. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I read this week, ironically, in doing some Bible study, I came across two passages about a cleft in the side of a mountain, sort of like a cave. And consider this, these passages were from the Old Testament, and the setting in the Old Testament is pretty much dry, barren ground in the Middle East. The strongest thing around is a mountain. A mountain of stone is the symbol of strength. And in Exodus 33, it said this: the love of God is like backing into a cleft of a mountain where the Lord puts his protective hand over the opening and you are safe. And then in Isaiah 2, it talks about into the future, looking in the future, and it talks about someday when God will stand from his throne and the earth will be shaken. At that time when the pronouncement is made of God's reign, the enemies of God will flee to the clefts of the mountains, where in fear they will try to hide from God. For there is no hiding from God. We might as well just be open with God and receive what God has for us. For God is good. God is love. God has our best interest in mind. For he gave us his Son to die on a cross and to be for us. Life sometimes is hard. And this lesson is critical to understand in the midst of the world in which we live in. I share with you a story from New York City, from a ghetto that had been referred to as the place where one would be most likely to die. And in this ghetto in New York City, there is a church. The pastor is a man by the name of Bill Wilson, who feels his call to inner city work. And Wilson himself has been stabbed twice and shot at. One of his key leadership team members on his ad council was killed. And in this setting, this church has a bus ministry where they would send buses into the neighborhoods and bring children and anyone who wanted to come to church. There was a woman in the congregation who was Puerto Rican. She didn't speak any English at all. She went to Pastor Wilson and said, through an interpreter, because she didn't speak English, "I want to do something. God has been good to me. I want to do something for God." And so Pastor Wilson said, "Why don't you ride on one of the buses and just love the children? As the children come on the bus, love them. That's your assignment." So this woman didn't speak English, so she learned some words. She learned to say, "I love you." And she learned to say, "God is love." And so what she would do every Sunday morning, she'd arrive early, she would ride the buses, and when the children got on board the bus, she looked for the worst looking child. She looked for the worst looking child and sat with that child. And just sat with the child on the bus ride and said those words, "I love you and God loves you." She did that for several months, and then she came back to Pastor Wilson and through an interpreter, she said, I appreciate this. I love what I'm doing, but I don't want to be assigned to a different bus anymore. I want to just be assigned to this one bus, for there's one child that I want to sit with." And so she changed that, and she sat on this one bus, and this one child who was the worst-looking kid never spoke. And he would sit in silence. They never heard a word out of his mouth. And she would sit with him every week and say, "I love you. God loves you." Eventually, that boy sat on her lap, and she would say to him every week, "I love you. God loves you." And then on one Sunday, before getting off the bus to go into Sunday school, the little boy turned to her and said, "I love you." And he gave her a hug and went off to Sunday school. That was 2:30 in the afternoon that they had that program, that afternoon program. By 6:30 that night, that little boy was dead. He had been beaten by his mother, put in a bag, and thrown in the trash. I hesitated to share this story with you, but when I read it, what spoke to me clearly was that the last words that he heard of love that day was from a Puerto Rican woman who didn't speak English very well, who was obedient to God, and that little boy, who knows what his life was like and the reasons why he didn't speak, but that little boy that day heard from a person that he sat on her lap, he heard, "I love you and God loves you." Maybe for me, this story is especially touching in that my mother and father, in their retirement, did bus ministry. And they did exactly what this woman did. And the church I grew up back home, they only had one bus, so their ministry was limited. But my mom and dad would go into the apartment complexes in the community where I grew up. And my mom was fluent in Spanish. And so she would speak to the ladies of the household, the parents, in Spanish, and invite them to let their kids come on the bus. They would be there at a certain time and be chaperoned, go down to the church where they have programs for the kids. And they knew exactly when they would come back. So my mother would speak to them. My mother is the one who had a heart for everyone to know God. Now, my dad was a kid person. My dad was the kind of person that invited friends over to the house, and before you know it, he'd have them in the headlock. And you know, pretending to be a wrestler or something. It was so embarrassing. But my dad was the assistant Boy Scout, Scoutmaster. And I noticed that the kids all took to my dad. And where I was embarrassed by some of his antics, they soaked it in. And they would talk to him and share with him. And so my mom and dad were this perfect team for going in the neighborhood and inviting kids especially to ride the bus and come to church, to learn about the love of God, and to know that there were people who, in the name of Jesus, loved them and enjoyed being with them. I want to build on these thoughts by sharing this. And a story I shared with you once before about a grandfather whose granddaughter was born prematurely, very little, very tiny at birth. And dad wasn't in the picture, so it was grandpa and his daughter. And with her father being absent, grandpa had an important role. And what I shared with you before, and I want to share this, that grandfather encountered a nurse. It was a very godly woman. And the nurse said this. A nurse who worked with babies and loved them said to grandpa, "Grandpa, you have a job now. And my expectation is that you come to this hospital every single day. You don't miss a day. You come to this hospital every single day. And when you're with the baby, you caress the baby with your fingertip. Those tiny little arms and those tiny little legs, the tiny little back, you caress that baby." And she said this, "And you have to speak at the same time. You have to say words of love and support to that little premature baby, because the baby needs to make a connection between the touch and the voice. The baby needs that connection." I think God knows that about us. We have the Word of God. We have our prayer life. But God knows that we need the connection of people and the connection of touch. And that's the role of the church. You all have heard that story of the little boy who was afraid of the dark. And at night he said, "Mom, I don't want to be by myself. I'm afraid. I'm afraid when you turn off the light." And mom would say, "Oh, you don't need to be afraid. God is with you. God is with you. You can feel God's presence. You don't need to be afraid." And the little boy shook his head. He said, "No, I need somebody with skin on." You, my friends, those who have received the love of God, those for whom God sent his Son to die on a cross, that our sins might be forgiven, that we may be pure in the eyes of God. You, my friends, the recipients of the love of God, you are God's skin in this world. You are God's skin. And the role of the church as we do mission work, as we go out and to work through UMOM or Wesley Community Center or local food bank or through our powwow program here at the church, every time we reach out to other people, we are the church. We are skin on the face of God. Another thing about 1 John that maybe you heard, maybe you didn't, towards the end of the reading, it said this: because of the love of God, which is offered to us and we receive, we can stand in confidence on Judgment Day. So often we put so much focus on the things that we've done wrong in this life. We think about the errors we have made and the sins that we have committed, and we focus on what we've done wrong, and we don't feel worthy. This passage reminds us that God is love. And that love connection with us is not dependent on us being good, because we can't be good enough. It's a gift from God. It's a free gift from God that we are, that God first loved us. John Wesley called it prevenient grace. It's a term that means that God loves us first. And when we feel that, and when we respond, and when we receive it, then we experience the abundant life that only God can give. So it is with confidence that we will stand before God on Judgment Day. Not because we're good, because we aren't good, but because God is good, God is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever may believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God is love. We are the church. We are the skin in the game. Know your purpose. Know God's peace. Know God's love. Amen.